限界な夢の後の何もない世の中じゃ。
Hello everyone, and welcome to our 16th reading of the Digimon Adventure novelization, which was translated into English by Onkei. We'll be continuing on with the second book with part 4 today, so I hope you enjoy it. Part 4. The Restaurant by the Lakeshore. A loud crashing of dishes could be heard coming from inside the kitchen. Yamato, who had been playing his harmonica in the kitchen's backyard to take his mind off his worries, heard the noise and stopped. Oh, not again. He looked extremely fed up. Getting to his feet, as if it was a chore, he stuck his harmonica into the back pocket of his jeans and began walking at a snail's pace to the kitchen door. Gabumon obediently walked along after him. I wonder how long it'll take this time, he said, conversationally. Who cares? Yamato spat out in disgust, looking very put upon. Gabumon didn't say anything after that. He couldn't blame Yamato's sulkiness in the least. When they had left Takeru and Patamon, Yamato had promised that they would be back immediately. But, by being unable to leave here, it only made sense that his human would be running out of patience. In fact, it was pretty admirable how he did not show this attitude openly whenever Joe was around. Even so, who knew how long that would last? Even Gabumon could tell that with each passing day, Yamato's heart grew harder and bitter. It was 2 months ago when Gabumon and Yamato arrived at this restaurant. Leaving Takeru and Patamon at the amusement park, they took a swan boat to check out their surroundings and see if they were safe. While keeping the coast on the left, they pedaled on until, just when they were thinking about heading back, they spotted a building shaped like a diner, which was according to Yamato, atop a hill facing the lake. What's that? Landing their swan boat at the beach, the two of them cautiously made their way up the gentle slope as they kept watch for enemies. When they reached the front of the building, they heard, "Welcome, welcome one and all! It's the most delicious restaurant in the world!" It was a familiar voice, and no wonder, because the voice belonged to Gomon. Gomon, what are you doing here? Gomon's mouth dropped open. Gabumon, Yamato! He blinked rapidly, as if he thought he was daydreaming. But when Gabumon reached out and shook his hand, he realized that it wasn't a dream, and flew at Gabumon with tears streaming down his face. Wah! They stood there, letting Gomon cling tightly to Gomon as he sobbed. "Is Joe here too?" Yamato asked after Gomon had calmed down. Gomon nodded and at last explained all that had happened to them. "Well, we kept looking for Sora, but no matter where we went, we couldn't find her. When we came upon this restaurant, we went in wanting to eat something because we were so hungry. The food was okay. Then, when we went out to pay, Joe held out all these pieces of paper. He said they were currency, but the owner of the restaurant, Digitamamon, said that we couldn't use those and would have to work here to pay back what we ate. So we did that, since we didn't have any other choice. But the food that Joe cooked tasted so bad that we started losing customers, and then we had to reimburse for that too. Also for the broken dishes. At first, we only had to work for 3 days, but then it kept getting extended, and now we've been working for almost 2 weeks. Yamato's expression changed to one of faint exasperation upon hearing Gomon's story. Well, Joe is a pretty clumsy guy. It was wrong of him in the first place to think that he could use money from our world here. Hey, Gomon, take me to that Digitamon and I'll talk to him. I'll see if we can come to some sort of agreement. Yamato had a direct talk with Digitamon. First, the sum total of debt that Joe had accumulated, as well as his hourly pay, which were written out clearly. Together, they calculated the number of days it would take for him to pay it all off. In doing so, they found that it would take 4 days, and so Yamato made a deal with Digitamon that if he and Gabumon worked as well, he would cut it down to 2 days. "Well, that's a promise," Digitamon said. Of course, it was already established that if dishes or cups were broken by accident, it would be docked off their pay. So in these circumstances, they made an agreement in advance on how much a single dish or single cup would cost. When he entered the kitchen, where Joe was working, and explained everything to him, Joe lowered his head apologetically. "Oh, I'm really sorry that you had to do all that," Joe said. "But if I break one more dish..." "Hey, don't worry about it. One or two plates, the most we'll get from that is one more day," Yamato answered back with a smile, as he wet a sponge with dishwashing liquid and began scrubbing. But it didn't end up being just one or two. It would be a few each day, sometimes even stacks of dishes all at once. Ever since Joe came to the restaurant, it was very possible that he'd replaced every single dish and cup that it had previously owned. When the two returned to the kitchen, Joe was sweeping up the broken pieces with a broom and a dustpan. He looked about ready to cry. And since Gomon was in charge of attracting customers at the restaurant, Joe was by himself. Noticing Yamato came in, Joe's expression became very humbled. "I'm sorry, it happened again," he apologized. A week ago, Yamato would have replied back that it was okay, but now he didn't even bother to look Joe in the face. Heedlessly, he stepped on the porcelain pieces still scattered on the floor, crunching them under his feet. Standing in front of the gas stove, he looked at the order slips pinned at the wall and said, "Now then." Yamato turned on the stove, looking like a cat whose fur had been rubbed the wrong way. Joe bowed his head deeply at Yamato's back before returning to clean up the mess. He looked so pitiful that Gomon quietly stepped in to help him. Joe looked at him as if to say something, but Gomon shook his head. He wasn't helping out of charity for Joe, but because he didn't want to avoid provoking Yamato any further. Seeming to understand, Joe contained himself and gave one silent, grateful nod to Gomon. It grew dark. The boys were furnished with the boiler room as their sleeping quarters. The low rumbling of the machines reverberated throughout the room discordantly, and because it was windowless, the room was stuffy from barely any ventilation. Yamato and Joe took up opposite corners of the room so that they each had a diagonal space to call their own. A wash line with dirty bed sheets hanging from it ran between them, acting as a room divider. It was Yamato who had suggested this idea. When Joe offered to help him, he cordially refused and did it all himself. They didn't come to any verbal agreement, but neither pair ever crossed the sheets to enter into the other's domain. When Gomon asked Yamato why he did that, he replied coldly, "To keep my privacy." Gomon had heard the word privacy from him before. Back when Taichi was still with everyone, Yamato would watch Taichi tell Joe or Koshiro to do this or that and made a comment about it to Gomon. "Can't Taichi do something about that personality of his? He stamps into other people's hearts without any reserve and leaves behind his muddy feet. He doesn't understand that people have their own privacy, and that's something that he should respect." It was a constructively made criticism, but faintly, Gomon somehow felt that maybe Yamato was resentful of Taichi. Normally, Yamato would collapse onto the bed the moment he entered the room and immediately pass out from the fatigue of working without pause from morning to night. But sleep eluded him tonight. He appeared to have something on his mind, because he sat with his knees folded up, staring into space deep in thought. He stayed in that position for little more than an hour, when he suddenly stood up and made a look signalling Gomon to follow him. Once they were outside, Gomon slightly lifted up his head, part of the fur pelt he was wearing. The sweat that had been gathering under it from inside the sweltering boiler room ran down his skin as the cool night air drifted in. It felt good.
"So, what is it, Yamato?" Gomon asked.
"Shh," Yamato said, putting a finger to his lips. Gomon knew that that was a signal that meant that they had to be quiet. Yamato bent down and said in a low voice next to Gomon's ear, "We're getting out of here."
"Getting out? But what about Joe and..."
Gomon tried to mimic Yamato's whisper, but he couldn't do so very well. He trailed off at the point to try again, but Yamato understood what Gomon was trying to say and whispered back, "We're leaving, Joe and Gomon. Digitalmon doesn't seem to be that much of a bad guy anyway. He keeps us fed, and if you think about it, employment in his restaurant, well..." Gomon couldn't say anything. To him, it didn't seem like Yamato really thought about what he was saying, even if it was true. Yamato seemed to take Gomon's silence as wordless disapproval because he uncomfortably averted his eyes. He looked down at his feet for a while and then seemed to have a thought of something because he suddenly kicked at the dirt and said, desperately and rapidly, "Yeah, that's right. I'm abandoning them. I mean, what else can I do? If I stay with him, I'll never go back to Takeru for the rest of my life. If I had to choose between a friend and my own brother, it's just natural for me to choose my brother." Gabumon understood that by brother, he meant Takeru, and by friend, he meant Joe. But because Digimon didn't have a family system, he couldn't understand what was the difference between them. Weren't they both important? Gabumon was confused, but it didn't seem that way to Yamato, because he said sharply, "Anyway, I'm going. Whatever you do is up to you." And he walked away. Unable to decide on what to do, Gabumon stood there helplessly as he watched Yamato's retreating back. But when the sight of Yamato's head disappeared over the slope, he was immediately overcome with loneliness. Breaking up with Yamato meant relapsing back to that time on File Island, where he'd waited impatiently for Yamato to arrive, not knowing if it would be that day or tomorrow. He didn't want to go back to that ever again. Yamato. Succumbing to the feelings of loneliness, Gabumon ran after Yamato. He couldn't be gone. He had to be nearby still. He must be waiting for me at the boat. As Gabumon descended the hill, he saw Yamato waiting in the middle of the road. He wasn't alone. Taichi, Takeru, Koromon, and Patamon were also with him. "Hey, Joe," Gabumon said, looking across the room at the bedsheets. "Yamato sure is taking a long time in the bathroom." Joe nodded, but silently thought that Yamato would not be coming back. It wasn't a new thought. Whenever Yamato went out on his break, whenever Joe went to the storehouse to get potatoes, even when Joe was in the bathroom, Joe was endlessly fearful that Yamato would take that chance to leave. But even so, Joe was ready to accept that. He felt terrible about making Yamato go along with the mistakes that he had made. When they'd first met, Joe admittedly didn't like Yamato. Even though he was younger, he didn't address Joe respectfully, and he put on airs. But strangely enough, the more they were together, the more he felt closeness with Yamato. At some point within their little group, the two had taken up the role of reining in the foolhardy Taichi. But if it came to opening himself up and talking to him, they weren't that close. Somehow, he felt a wall around Yamato, an invisible wall, something that kept others at a distance. Joe had a feeling that it was put up unconsciously. Takeru was the only person that Yamato actively tried to interact with. But from Joe's viewpoint, he was so awkward and unnatural about it that it was hard to believe that they were brothers. He'd heard that their parents had divorced. Maybe that had something to do with it. But, even so, Joe understood that Yamato, from his point of view, must be so extremely worried about Takeru right now after leaving him in the amusement park. And yet, despite that, even though they weren't long-term, or even now, good friends, even though he wouldn't gain anything by keeping Joe company, Yamato chose to work together with him in this restaurant to rescue him. It had made Joe happy, so happy that it brought tears to his eyes. Until now, Joe never had a friend who would do something like this for him. He had friends in after-school cram lessons, but when it came right down to it, they were rivals vying for the same seats at the top in these distinguished schools. He also didn't really consider his family as something beyond people living in the same house as he was. That's why he had to do his best, for Yamato's sake. At least, that's what he wanted to do. But it only strung him up more, making him serve dishes at the wrong tables, taking down the wrong orders, and breaking dishes and glasses. Instead of helping to shorten their stay here, all he had done was extend it. He could tell that Yamato was irritated. He expected to be cursed at or punched, and he was ready to accept that, but Yamato never did any of it. He put up with it, and put up with it, and put up with it, again and again and again. It made Joe feel ashamed about his own uselessness, but also extremely happy. That was why Joe thought that if Yamato never came back tonight, he was just going to accept it. Yamato shouldn't have to sacrifice himself just for him. But if he was going to leave, then Joe wished that he would just say so. Not so Joe could plead with him to stay, but so that he could say thanks. So that he could have the chance to say thank you for all that you've done for me. Just at that moment, They heard footsteps approaching from outside. Several footsteps, in fact, on tiptoe. Quietly, the door opened and Gabumon poked his head in.
Joe, Gabumon, I have something to tell you, but I want you to do your best to not be surprised, okay?
Huh? Gabumon blinked at him. What are you talking about? What do you mean, don't be surprised?
I mean, I don't want you to let out any noises of surprise no matter what happens.
Joe and Gabumon exchanged looks. Joe swallowed hard. He wasn't going to cry, he told himself. He was going to smile and say his thanks to Yamato.
Well, okay, whatever you have to say, we won't be surprised, Joe answered.
In that case,
Gabumon disappeared behind the door and Taichi's head poked in.
Taichi, what are you doing here?
Joe squeaked in loud surprise. He had been so certain that what Gabumon meant was that Yamato was going to say his goodbyes and that so he shouldn't make a fuss. This unexpected development took him back on his promise without meaning to.
Shh, idiot,
Taichi whispered hurriedly, realizing what he'd done. Joe covered his mouth with his hands. Digitamon didn't hear that, did he? Why am I always like this? But he wasn't given time to reflect on his mistakes.
Well, let's get out of here, Taichi said, pulling forcefully on Joe's arm.
He wanted to ask Taichi then and there where he had disappeared to and what he had been doing, but Taichi waved him off.
I'll tell you later. Gotta leave first.
Yamato was there, as well as Takeru. Takeru looked up at Joe with a beautiful smile, but Yamato didn't meet his gaze. It was the same attitude that he had shown to Joe for the past couple of weeks, except something was different. Something like guilt seemed to be mingled in it. Gabumon was simply pleased to be reunited with their friends again, but Joe had mixed feelings. It was his own fault for eating at the restaurant without paying, and no one else but he was to blame for all the slip-ups that happened after that. In that case, was it okay for him to run away like this? No, it wasn't. He had to fulfill his responsibilities. Just as he thought, a voice spoke.
Don't tell me you're getting ready to walk away.
An egg shaped like Humpty Dumpty, or rather, no, an egg itself. Digitamon was standing at the exit, backlit by the full moon.
You've got guts, skiving off without paying your debt.
What are you talking about? The debt should already be... Yamato was angry at Digitamon, but Joe stepped in between them, with his back to Yamato.
I'm sorry, I'll stay, he said, looking at Digitamon. But please, let Yamato go. It's my debt to begin with. I'll pay for it myself, okay?
It was an honest and straightforward appeal. But Digitamon's eyes, from within the darkness of the crack within his shell, gleamed.
Not a chance. You have to keep your promises, he said.
Please, Joe implored once more. But when the same answer came back, Joe said, ugh, and reluctantly jumped towards Digitamon as if to shake him. His hand slid across Digitamon's smooth shell, and he fell on his face to the ground. Digitamon brought a leg up to tread on Joe's back.
Unless you want me to end this guy's life, all of you will work too, he said menacingly to the rest of the boys, who had been staring dumbfoundedly at the exchange. I can't just have you running off. I spent hours supplying oil to the edges of the plates to make them easier to slip from your hands, and stacking them up dangerously to make them easier to fall over. If you all run now, all that hard work would be for nothing. So that's what's been happening. Damn it,
Gabumon said, grinding his teeth in dismay, and
Gabumon evolve! Hikakumon!
He evolved to a Kakumon and leapt to Digitamon, but because Joe was held hostage, he couldn't attack with his harpoon Vulcan. Just when the larger white-furred creature was about to take the drastic step of ramming into Digitamon with a body blow, Digitamon's eyes flashed with a ray of light that sent him somersaulting backwards.
Hikakumon!
Having shared Gabumon's troubles throughout the ordeal, Gabumon could not stand back and watch.
Gabumon evolve! Garurumon!
He evolved into Garurumon and went to help. Digitamon's weak spot, Garurumon reasoned, were the eyes peeking out from the crack in the shell. He lunged for them with his claws, but Digitamon would close the crack before they reached, and Garurumon's claws would just hit against the tough shell instead. He ended up receiving damage rather than inflicting it. During this fight, Joe was yelling from beneath Digitamon's foot.
Forget about me, all of you run! We're not leaving you behind! Taichi cried, but Joe shook his head.
Forget about me, he repeated. Take care of everyone. Also, Yamato,
He turned to Yamato and said, "Thanks for everything. I'll never forget your help." He buried his forehead into the dirt, giving a low, low bow.
Stop it. I...
Yamato's pale lips trembled. "I tried to leave you behind and escape on my own. But Joe only nodded silently. "What you did was natural. But still, you came back."
"Yeah, that's just because I met Taichi on the way and he told me..."
"But you could have told him that I wasn't here. Isn't that right?" Tears fell from Yamato's eyes. They were tears that were mixed with remorse for his actions to Joe, disgust at himself for his cold-heartedness, and gratitude of having found such an irreplaceable friend in Joe.
"Joe! Joe!"
When Yamato screamed with all his might, something came zooming out from behind the dark warehouse. It jumped into Yamato's hand and glowed brightly. It was a crest. Not Taichi's crest, but Yamato's.
"Garurumon! Super Evolve! Where, Garurumon?"
A giant wolf released a flash of lightning and disappeared for a moment. Within the white afterimage stood a man? Maybe? On two legs. He looked like a long-legged man wearing blue jeans, except his head was the head of a wolf.
A werewolf?
Wergurumon kicked with his feet, springing high up in the air. He became a black silhouette against the full yellow moon, and he drew a large semicircle with his leg. Then he descended towards Digitarmon.
Moonsault kick!
The intense power of his kick sent Digitarmon flying. Landing lightly on the ground, Wergurumon did not pause as he kicked at the ground again, charging at Digitarmon, who was lying within the bushes unable to get back up. His sharp, pointed fingernails glinted in the moonlight like razors.
Kaiser Nail!
His nails let rutted scratch marks on Digitarmon's shell.
Wah!
Digitarmon's eggshell cracked open in two, and the pieces dropped to the ground, instantly falling away from something black with a vague shape inside Digitarmon's shell body. Giving a high-pitched, enraged shriek, it circled through the night sky like a balloon losing air and disappeared somewhere.
"What was that?" Takeru asked uncomfortably. "A ghost?"
"I'm not sure," Taichi answered, "but I think it may have been Digitarmon's real form." Where Gurumon's energy exhausted, he returned to his baby form, Tsunamon. Yamato moved as if to run towards Tsunamon, but changed his mind midway and went to Joe instead.
"Joe, are you okay?"
Yamato called out to the fallen Joe. Yeah, I'm fine. Thank goodness. Yamato held out his hand towards Joe, who grabbed it. There was no need for words. The warmth they had felt as they had grasped at each other's hand was more than words ever could do. And that was the next part of the reading for the Digimon Adventure novelization. And of course, as always, a huge thank you to Onkei for providing these translations. The link dump is, of course, linked in the description, along with our Redbubble, where you can get more than just shirts there too. You can contact us and stay updated. You can email us at lostintranslationmon@gmail.com, or you can comment on this episode or message us on our website, which is lostintranslationmon.com. You can also go here to check out our blog post, our release schedule, and vote in any polls that we have. You can also follow us on social media. We're at Translationmon on Twitter, and you can find us on Lost in Translationmon on Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And of course, we have a discussion thread on With the Will, and a Red Thread and Digimon subreddit. And we are also found on, I would say, the majority, if not all, of the podcast listening services that are around. So if you could leave a rating there, we'd really appreciate it. And you can also donate to our Patreon with linked description from as little as $1 a month. And that gets you access to a listen Discord server, but there are higher levels with more rewards such as notes, early episodes, and more. And thank you to our current supporters on Patreon: Joe, Anime Guy, who is Anime Guy Kurosaki, then the number one on YouTube, Stephen Reeves, who is WildBeast64 on Archive of Our Own, Kaidawashi, Chisai, who you can follow on Tumblr at Chisai236, Kyle, Tom, Lizmet, who is Alekmon on Tumblr, Nicholas, MetalMamimon, Sam, Spiral, Keith from a computer podcast on the internet, Magnus, and Noah. And you can also make one donation on your PayPal, which we found in the description. It's paypal.me/agemon. And I also have a Ko-fi account, which is ko-fi.com/erdra. And yes, thanks for listening. And of course, as always, thanks to Onkei for providing the translation. And I'll see you guys next time. Bye!